and welcome to See the World with Ajala Nene, a podcast that takes you on a journey across Nigeria and Africa to explore the country and the continent's diverse and vibrant culture. Our esteemed guests will share their experiences and insights into the local tourism scene, from hidden gems to must-see attractions. So grab a cup of coffee and join us as we see the world with Ajala Nene. Whether you're planning a trip to Nigeria or Africa, or simply want to explore and experience the continent from the comfort of your own home, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and let's explore Nigeria and Africa together. Hey guys! Welcome back to See the World with Ajala Nene. Guess what time it is? Dun, 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 dun! It's the Wanderlust Wonder segment. And as you know, this is where we spotlight tourist sites in Africa and beyond. And today's spotlight is Kajuru Castle. Have you ever wondered what living in a castle feels like? Well, let's dive into how you can have that experience at the only luxurious villa located in the northern part of Nigeria. Situated on a mountaintop, Kajuru Castle is in a village named Kajuru in Kaduna State. The Kajuru Castle was built between the years 1981 and 1989 by a German expatriate. It accommodates about 150 guests, includes a swimming pool, a grilling spot, a sauna, a beautiful garden, and a dungeon-like room. This castle is a sight to behold as it is surrounded by greenery, rocks, and mountains. It is a lovely place to visit if you want to experience serenity with a blend of nature and modern luxury. As I said earlier, if you want to know what living in the castle feels like, then take a trip to Kaduna and visit the majestic Kajuru Castle in Kajuru. Hi guys, and we have our guest here. She's the beautiful, delectable, intelligent, in fact, smart. Give me more words. I'm looking for more words. I don't know.
I think that's enough. So the ceilings don't bust.
All right, guys, we have Vera Sharon Ohioma. She's a tourism enthusiast committed to promoting Africa as a top tourism destination globally. She's the founder of GetHub, a company focused on driving projects with investment. I like that part. Mm-hmm. Investment potentials to market-ready tourism and hospitality products in Africa.
Absolutely.
Right? And she's also the lead initiator of the Tourism Invest Africa project, leveraging the AFC-FTA. How do you pronounce that thing again?
AFC-FTA.
We don't have any full
African
words.
African Continental Free Trade Agreement Area.
Man, see, that is long.
Even the AFC-FTA is too long.
To fill the gaps in investment opportunities and African tourism industries. Vera Ekabo. No.
Yay! Thank you for that outstanding introduction. My head is like this.
Shall you spin?
It's about
boom,
to.
Boom. But you've earned it. I will not be saying that to you I didn't think you're like that, right?
Thank you.
So let's get to it. Mm-hmm. This podcast is about, I want to gist with you.
Absolutely.
Tell me, how did you get here? How did you get to the tourism space? Why?
Yeah, I love how you said let's gist, because our sector, you know, is business and leisure.
So always serious.
And then we have
you don't want to be serious. You have to still show relaxing.
You know, relaxing. So I like that part. So let me start by saying I got into the sector by accident.
Accident.
Mm-hmm.
Please share the accident.
I have to say, it's so funny. It's so funny, and it's one that I always remember. It was never planned. Mm. So while growing up as a young girl, way back, the only time,
way back. Don't mind that, she's still a young woman. Oh.
The only time I had, way in the 80s, while growing up, as a young girl, the only time I got to understand that there was something called aviation was when I watched a movie. And that's why I still use the word way back. Mm. Delta Force by Chuck Norris. It was an old movie when we had those videotapes and then you rewind sometimes. Yeah. So I loved that movie because it had the cabin crew. For some reason, I just, so that was the only time I had that, you know, that first time knowledge experience. That there was this this aircraft, it was like, and then you have the cabin crew. And then back in Benin then, I remember there was a time I asked my uncle, and he said, oh, just joking. They're like, oh, cabin crew. And then there was Okada Air. So there was that interest, that love. But of course, as time goes on, that fell off. Mm. And then for me, I don't know where I got that from. Yes, I was raised by a strong woman, but I always had this thing that I didn't want to be among those women that had that second place. Hmm. So my background, I mean, my state, people might fight at me. I mean, I think it was one of those states that always had women at the second place. It was so bad.
What state is
but
that?
I was Edo State. Okay. But I was fortunate. I was raised by parents, and I saw my father put my mother at that position. Mm. So I had that upbringing. So career-wise, I remember when I was leaving school, they were, you know, when I hear my uncles give suggestion of career, it was never like a top position that they would point out and say, you can be, you can be this. Mm-hmm. It always had that sort of like feminine.
Yeah.
And I was just rebellious for that. I'm like, why don't you always think about that top one? So when I left school, I wanted the banking industry. Mm. Why? Because I felt, at that time, because I felt that I could, you know, change that narrative that my uncles always had, or those relatives always had, mostly when they are portioning and saying, this is for the guys and this is for the female. And at the time, banking just had that evolution of modern smart banking by our big bros, Tony Lumelu.
Yes.
And it was Standard Trust Bank. So all my application was Standard Trust Bank. SCB, 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 SCB.
No I other thought, bank.
No other bank, because they had smart banking. You know, you see the guys with tailor fits, you know, tailor cut suit. You see the ladies with
their lovely,
you know,
suits,
lovely, the high heels and all. So it was, for me, it was smart banking. Then when you see the MD, everyone was like, eh, Tony Lumelu. For me, it just fitted perfectly into the picture I've always had, that yes, I could grow with this, you know, grow with this generation. And then marketing was for it for me. So I was always like, hey, because I knew that I was very good in marketing services as against product. That was it. And guess what happened? You know, that was also the era we had the GSM.
Yes.
Eh? That was 080. That when you buy 1,500, you must use it in 15 days. After that 15 days, your 1,500 is gone.
Finish.
So this was someone who was unemployed. I had one small one-man business job I was managing. Still struggling for my STB job. And then had done, you know how you go back and forth. And I just gave up on that. I said, I don't think these people even want me. Nobody's, they're not calling back. And I went to my friend's house to go and lament and get comforted as we were talking about. And it happened that it was just that same day. I was to meet with the MD of STB. Now, because the GSM phone, now, if you don't have money to put credit, it's of no use carrying it. So I left it in the house. That's interesting. So I was in my friend's house, and they called in the morning because I was depressed. So I left the house as early as 8-9 to go sit there.
Ew.
So they called in the morning, called me to say I had an interview for 1 p.m.
Ew.
I was in my friend's house.
Lametti,
Justine, and I told myself I will leave here at about 4 p.m. It was a whole day visit. Okay. So by the time I walked into my house, and I was even with my cousin. Then when I walked in, like, I think today was such a good day. At least I got comforted. He said, your phone has been ringing. My sister was in the banking sector. She was calling the landline. They were looking for me. Where did she go to? My friend didn't have a mobile phone, so nobody could reach her. Nobody even knew where I went to. And that was it. So when I looked at it, I said, there's no point going to Ujalaimi now. That was where the head office was. So once my cousin said, still try and go. I still tried. And when I got there, the receptionist said, even you coming at this time, do you think the doors will be open to you? And that was it. So I turned around.
Your dream of walking.
I went back. I went into another depression. This time I cried. I cried like it was raining. I cried. Everything was wet. Tissue people were petting me like someone died. So I went back to my one small one-man business job, went there, and then my colleague said, don't worry, take it easy. Because everybody was struggling for a banking job. Even all of us in that B, everybody was applying for either ETB or this.
It was the
in thing, yeah.
The bank.
So my friend who is a Nigerian librarian, he just comforted me and he said, don't worry, let's look out, you know. And some days after, that was the era where we had Guardian newspaper Tuesday and Thursday for jobs. And so some days after, the Tuesday newspaper release came up, and then I saw an airline. I don't want to mention names because, I mean, they're not sponsoring your program, so we're not advertising for them. So there was a local airline that came out. It was going to be a small chartered flight that came out. And my friend said, we applied for this once, and it just came up. You know, let's see. And then I said, oh, aviation. Okay. It took me back to
those days, the movie.
Chuck Norris, Delta Force. And funny enough, really, at that moment, I thought about Chuck Norris, Delta Force. Okay, fine. But I didn't want cabin crew. So I saw marketing. Because at that time already, I now understood that cabin crew was just not for me. So then I went into, then I applied for marketing. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got into the airline. But interestingly enough, it was an aviation company.
Yeah.
They were starting the local airline, but they had not started. So when we, even though they employed us for it, they had not started the inaugural flight. Operations and all of that. And so they now put some of us at the travel center. That was the first time I knew there was something called travel agency.
So it was my first time in your life.
It was the first time I heard that there was travel agency. So I remember I sat with the girls I met. I'm like, what do you people do here? They were saying, I said, really? I just thought people just go to the airport, buy tickets and fly.
And go.
Oh, there are people, there are agencies. Okay, so I was looking at it, but of course I was still into banking. I was still applying for banking jobs. And then it made me apply for banking jobs the more because we had this big giant book they use in calculating fares. When I see those books, I just go depressed. I'm like, what is this?
That's the part I didn't like about packaging.
And then they'll start doing, I'm like, oh my goodness.
I'm supposed to be
talking about how to open an account with this bank. You know, then I'm like, okay, fine, there's a salary coming. And then to not top it off, we still had a lot of the old breed who refused to,
evolve.
So you will see how they will come to work slacky, as opposed to me who I was looking for the high heat. So what even made me endure that period? But because we had some set of us that were from the new generation. So we had that mindset. A lot of us wanted the banking. So our discussions and everything was showing that, of course, we were with this generation that things shouldn't be like it used to be. So that is pretty much how. So the more I stayed there, I kept trying, nothing worked. Then I just said to myself one day that, okay, let's see how far this goes. Then I now got another job. I think that for me was the bomb, or that was just it for me. I got a travel company job and I was employed to go manage the contract at LLNG. That was it for me. So when I got into LNG, the fact that it was an implant office, it wasn't, as much as it was a travel management company, their culture was pretty much tied with what we do because they employed us for their business. So I started seeing how things were done. I started seeing how, you know, the whole tradition, the business world, international standard, and even the way we manage travels for travel companies. I started seeing that this is like a good career path.
You know,
because it wasn't just booking and cancel. You had to get into the plans of when this board meeting is happening, when this expatriate is coming. You know, you had to be you were managing teams, you were calling the cruise line, you were calling the airport, you were so it just gave me, I'm like, okay,
it's
beginning to look interesting.
It's looking like it's making sense.
Yes, I said this. And then I started, because of course at that time we started having you know, all these web applications coming up, like there was Google, there was YouTube. So you could read
about
online. So I started reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I started getting exposed to, you know, how travel and tourism was done outside Nigeria.
Yeah.
I started seeing it in the Western world. Oh my goodness. So this is even a strong
industry,
a good career path. And that was it for me.
That was it for you. I love this
absolutely.
Story.
That was it for me.
I love the back. I love the fact that I just love how you bumped into it.
Mm-hmm.
And grew. At the beginning, it wasn't funny.
It wasn't.
It wasn't funny. And I understand that thing because I've been there too.
Okay.
You're using the old school.
I'm glad you
before
do.
Before they now brought in the new school, and some of us who are still young, I said, okay, we want to actually feel it this way. Okay, so I know about this, your investment. Why investment? Why did you decide to go into the investment route?
Okay.
Based on what you just shared.
Yes. That path, I love that question very well. So, okay, this is it again. So that takes me to another journey. So
another accident.
No, not accident. This was intentional. This one is intentional.
Okay.
So when I left paid labor 2016, I pretty much didn't know what I wanted to do.
With it.
Yeah. Okay. When I left paid labor, I didn't really know what I wanted to do.
Okay.
Funny enough,
I knew I was still going to
remain in industry, but I wanted to bring value. I wanted to take it out of the usual. You know, I wanted to bring value. I knew that we had that strong chance of competing with what they do in the Western world. Yeah. So when I left, I actually took a break. I was in the US for a couple of months when I left, paid labor. I took a break, just settled down, see. And then I started attending events, you know, trade fairs. No, when I came back, within the industry, within Africa, I started attending events within Lagos. I just started attending events in general, you know. So, can I pause this? Is it possible? I need to pick that call.
Vera, I told you. I told you, and I warned you to put it off.
He's the guy who wants to be here.
Okay, so you think he's here already?
Is there a way you cut off that part? It doesn't work like
that. Yeah, she can. Can you cut it off?
Yeah, no, we can pause. We're going to edit.
Thank you, please.
Auntie Vera, but I told you to put it off.
No, not you.
Because the person is here, you know Rida now.
I know Rida.
Yes.
Sorry, after I just need them to let him come.
Let him come
inside.
That's fine. That's okay. Then you put it off.
Yes, I will.
Silent.
Was it getting into it? Oh, sorry, because I was in an interview, so I couldn't pick it out immediately. But can the person come in?
No. Okay. Yeah, where is
I kept trying to put my voice inside.
You should tell the security man the radio.
Yes, true.
The African Business Radio. They'll direct him to the.
You hear that?
African Business.
I was doing
radio.
That
the one Nena invited you for.
I thought she was pausing.
Is that what you're doing?
That's what I'm doing, yes.
Is that what I'm doing? Hello, Mama!
That's why it's happening. That's why it's happening, exactly.
Yes, ma. Hi, Mama! Nena
Hi,
here.
Darling, how are you?
I'm fine. You're coming next week, Rabi.
Yes. Oh.
This is the venue. Yeah, this is the venue, yes, Ma. Are you outside, Ma?
Thank you.
I say okay. Are you outside, Ma? Is he with the person? Is the person here with you, Ma?
Yes, I'm outside.
Okay, let me bring him in. Yeah. Hold on, Ma. Okay. All right, Ma.
Thank
you.
Let me
bring him.
My darling, are they okay? Ejo.
Sorry, no call will come in. That one has to be, yeah. That one has to be. So maybe I'll just turn it off. Then I'll focus. Then turn it on back.
So, I like the way you've pivoted in tourism space. So why investment? Why tourism investment?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that question again. So this time it was intentional.
Intentional, not by accident.
Not by accident. So in 2016, I left paid employment because I wanted to go into the entrepreneur space.
Okay.
So it was still intentional.
Okay.
I wanted to be in control. Mm. I didn't want anybody, you know, to sort of like just put that cap on initiatives, ideas that I had.
Not put in that box.
So I took a bold step because I had done some savings and I just felt that, okay, I think I can take that risk. You know, I had done the risk assessment.
Okay.
So when I left in 2016, I pretty much didn't need for anything. I just went on a break. It wasn't a study break or whatever. I was just on the break to clear my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was out of the country for a while. Okay. Then I started attending events within Nigeria, which I never really used to do when I was in paid labor.
Okay. Why was that? Time?
Yeah, because timing, and it was pretty much never encouraged anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, it was never really encouraged. In the place that I worked, it was never really encouraged. So, and I've always loved, I knew that you get a lot of information when you attend events. You know, business conferences.
Networking. People.
So I had that liberty, that freedom. I started attending events. And then I met this young guy too, which we didn't even have, were they called Gen Z's then? No, I don't think so. But I just met this young guy who was very vibrant. Mm. You know, so we're talking and he said, hey, the IATF, this is one you should, the Intra-African Trade Fair.
Okay.
So he was saying that this is their maiden edition. He was planning to go and then he sent me their link, said, check it out. And I checked it and I'm like, okay, this sounds interesting. And I got interested because it was a trade fair that provides a platform for all sectors, all industries
in
Africa.
All sectors in the industry in Africa. Okay.
And I pretty much was trying not to be so focused on just travel events. I wanted it to be events that I was attending that would embrace all sectors.
Mm.
So I went in 2018 in Egypt, Cairo. Yes. Now I went I just went to see what I can learn. To network and see what I could learn, knowledge. I wanted to get exposed, pretty much what was happening there. So I went in December 2018, and then of course that was happening. I was seeing young entrepreneurs in different sectors, agriculture, some services that you'd be like, oh, really? You could make a career out of this? And that for me was just it, from different countries, because I mean, IATF is a continental event, yeah. It's it's all about the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement area. Yes, they drive that initiative in the trade space. Okay. So it was just the right event to be at. And that was, I remember people asking, what are you into? Sometimes I'll be like, services. I didn't really even have it packaged.
You don't have this package. I understand that feeling.
Then while I was at the fair, I noticed tourism wasn't represented. I saw agriculture, trade, manufacturing, automobile, name it all. Tourism wasn't represented. You didn't have they were not boldly seen or visible. You would just have them under country pavilion and they just be in one small space.
Wow.
And I said, why is this happening?
This is space missing.
Yeah, I said, there's a space missing. I know much because I mean, prior to leaving, when I left paid employment, I'd done tour research and I was reading about that sector. I knew that it was an economic driver, foreign exchange,
Good GDP.
So I knew that this was a viable sector. So why are we not here? And it burst my bubbles when I saw entertainment. I saw Nollywood, I saw music. They had a day, they had a stage.
Wow.
I remember sitting with a guy from, I think that guy was from Kenya, because I mean, you had from all over Africa, you had entrepreneurs, leaders, head of state, they were there. I remember sitting with the guy and I'm like, entertainment, really? So you could see an investment path. And I was in their sections for quite a while, just because I know they were doing similarly, they were doing similar things to what we do, which was services, purely services.
Yes.
And that was when I really got exposed to what the AFCFTA, that's the African Continental Free Trade Agreement area, was all about. That it was resting on two pillars, goods and services. And tourism fell under services. And then I met the MD of the initiative, Mrs. Kanayo, and then I saw her and I said, why is tourism not here? I really asked her that question. I walked to her and I said, why is tourism? And then she said, no, there's tourism. I think we have just one or two. Yes. I'm like, then this is the solution. This is a problem and this is the solution I want to bring. Yeah. So I came back. I said, yes. So yes, I found something that I want to chase
you
after.
You found your goal.
And then COVID came. COVID didn't come immediately, but of course I went into motherhood. And then, it was a blessing. So it was a restful period for me.
From mother to mother.
I know, right? So when COVID came, we all sat at home. Nothing was happening. This was a good time
to research
and you were meeting people online.
Yeah.
Man, that moment, as much as COVID brought, both blessings and its problems. But the fact that people, big names, high level leaders,
we
just opened their way, on LinkedIn. I like to connect here with you. I like to talk about this, and they'll just give you that audience, because they were not busy. They were not in their various offices.
Not busy.
So that just opened the way. And then of course I started getting membership into the tourism space, tourism organizations, and I started seeing a whole lot of what people were already doing out there, as opposed to booking and cancel.
I like to that again.
Booking and cancel.
Everybody thinks that tourism is just booking and cancel.
No. And I started seeing a whole lot of people were doing out there, Then of course through online, with the whole online thing, you were able to network with your colleagues in Singapore, in Europe, in America. So you were just getting ideas. Everything was online. And so we gathered our team. Because I'm not a competitor, mostly when it comes with initiatives or projects. So if you notice it, even when we talk, I rarely use I. I'm always using we. Even though I know I did it, I always use the word we. I'm so used to the word we.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, so I'm more of a collaborator. I like to collaborate first and then we can compete. And it's always interesting when you run such projects where you collaborate and then you have that powerhouse and then you can compete.
Yeah.
As opposed to you competing alone.
Healthy
competition. So then we all came together and then we formed a team. And that was how we started. But then again, we started to really talk much about tourism, investment, and to see why. The question was why are investors not investing in tourism businesses? Why are investors
multi-million dollar question?
And then we found the answers.
What was the answer?
The answers were It was difficult for them to understand what our sector was all about.
Why?
Because we had to do much work behind the scene. Our businesses had to be structured to speak the investors' language. Our businesses are not structured to speak the investors' language. Our businesses are structured to speak the one-man business ball language.
Okay.
So it was pretty much, I remember talking to a colleague, I said, it's like, we need to change that. Like people in our sector.
We need to relearn
that. Yeah, it's like we're afraid to bite and eat big. We just want that fruit that hangs low.
Hang and fall.
Fall down. Why not die for that one? And then why do you always feel we want this business to be pretty much your legacy? Nobody's arguing about that.
Yeah.
You know, bigger brands like Marriott and Co. Pretty much. But when you grow, you get to a stage where you let investors come in. So that you can grow and expand. And then we can start having brands with increasing footprint across Africa. That way, we also, you know, solving that problem of intra-African trade.
Mm.
It's not just intra-African trade of Nena can do business with Zanzibar.
Yes.
But it could be that Nena can have her business in Zanzibar. She can have her structure, her business in Zanzibar. She's expanding, investors are coming. There's a larger market, you know. So that was the drive for us. We now realized that two things were involved here. We needed to make investors see a sector as a viable sector that you can invest in and you get a return on your investment.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Number two, we also needed to work on the mindset of the people who are running and who are operators here that it's okay to be ambitious. It's okay to let investors come in.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at running a sustainable businesses. It was still okay to run your business and leave it for your children, but let investors come in so the business will sustain itself.
And grow.
And that can only happen with funding. Now, investors could come in with equity, they could come in with expertise, it could come in with, you know, but we just had to get to that space where we run our businesses, structure and remodel our business to be investment ready.
In fact, I like the way you've ended it this way. Now, let's go to the event that's happening in July. Please, can you share more about it with our audience?
Fantastic. So, pretty much, like I mentioned that we were asking the questions why and getting the answers.
Yes.
So when we said why and then we looked at the operators, then we realized that three ways we wanted to function at the Tourism Invest Africa project.
Yeah.
And then one of them was capacity building. And capacity building is a whole lot. That's where you see some industries that are thriving.
Yes.
They don't joke with capacity building. Yeah. You have to keep training, learning. You know, the world is evolving. Technology.
Every
right
day.
Now, we're doing smart tourism. You know, it's not the normal way of, oh, let me drop my flyer at your door.
Nope.
Who really holds flyers
Nobody
anymore?
Nobody does. Anyone
Everybody's going paperless.
Everybody's going paperless.
Yeah. You know, and then you had some, see, yes, I'm not going to mention their name because they're not sponsoring your program, but.
I like when you're saying that part. Like, you guys, come and sponsor.
Yeah,
our
come and sponsor.
Thank
yeah, that's
much.
The whole thing. We'll mention your name, we'll give you credit. So we had the likes of this giant travel agency that came in and they changed the space. You and I know who they are. They changed the space. That was because they went into tech. They found out what was happening. So that involved.
They fell into it.
They fell into it. So we know that capacity building is key. So that's
one way we
function on the project. The other way, too, is that we facilitate between the investment-ready businesses because we still have businesses, a whole lot of them that are structured. They have their books, they're tidy, they know what it is. They are here in doing the business of tourism.
Okay.
So we facilitate. We come in as the middleman, the broker, who connects the investors
to those
investment-ready businesses. So that's the second way. Then the third way we also function is representing the tourism investment readiness of destinations and businesses at trade fairs or conferences that are not tourism focused. Why? Because we want to tap into that target audience of investors who go to those places.
Okay.
We don't really have more of them that go to tourism events, except for, you know, the big names like the World Travel Market.
Yes.
But most tourism events, how many investors do we see coming there? So we say, you know what? We are working collectively together.
Yeah.
So let the guys who are doing that keep doing it. But you know what? We want to be in this space.
We want to be there.
Yes.
Let's capture them.
Yeah, let's capture you. Let's tell you more about. Yeah. So that's the three ways that we function.
Okay.
So the event coming up at Lagos Oriental from the 3rd to the 5th of July, which is the African Tourism and Hospitality Investment Ready Workshop. It's holding It's going to take place in within 3 days.
Okay.
Day one and day two is for the master classes.
Okay.
Yeah, we call it the accelerator master class.
So you'll be training people.
We're training people. But it's not really, training people how to build their structure, how to remodel their business, how to speak the investor's language. You know, so we have 4 coaches that we've teamed up with. When you go to our site, we'll start releasing.
Can you mention the site?
So our site is www.tourisminvestafrica. www.tourisminvest.africa. www.tourisminvest.africa.
Yeah.
So when you go to our site, we'll start publishing the names of the coaches very soon. So we have that on day one and day two.
Sorry, are they paid? Is it a paid event?
Yes, absolutely. It's a paid event. And I'll tell you why we want it, why we know that we have to put a price on it. Mm-hmm. We want the people who really need that to come.
Yes, to come. Those who really need it. Who say that they really need it.
And if you've noticed that in recent times, most of the events, I've started seeing it and I'm like, I'm excited. Most of the events you haven't seen rolling up right now in Nigeria are paid events.
Yes, because they want the right people
to come. We don't want someone who's just strolling by and like, hey, let me see what's happening here. Mm-hmm. No, we want the people who are searching for this, who are in need of this to come.
Yeah.
So it's a paid event. Day one and day two, like I mentioned, is a masterclass. Where we've teamed up with 4 experts who are leaders in their game. They're very good at what they do. They're going to be helping these businesses, you know, go through. And it's not going to be sort of like a presentation totally.
Okay.
It's going to be like a role play case study. So it brings down to the mind of the business. It comes down to say, hey, this is where and where, because it's going to be, like I mentioned, role play. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a case study of
very practical
and interactive. Mm-hmm. Then on day 3, which is the 5th of July, mm-hmm. is where we have the business mixer networking section.
Okay.
So on that day, we're going to have exciting and interactive panel sections that are result driven.
Okay.
Like I mentioned, our panel sections, it's not going to be, this is what... Because we've had that narration too much in our sector. Mm. This is what we want our panel sections to be. This is what I am doing.
Yes.
Yeah, fine. Yes. We're complaining about, government is not... But what are you doing in your own space?
Mm-hmm.
So these are the guys we're bringing on the panel to see. It's going to be an interesting one. Then we have something that we're introducing. It's called the Think Tank State. And I love that part. It gets me so excited. Because... I've had my colleague apologize to the Gen Z one time. He said, we're sorry, we didn't do much. I was laughing at one event. So we're bringing the Gen Z and a good part of the Gen Z to the stage, and our generation
Gen
and
X,
the generation before our generation, we're bringing them on one stage.
Beautiful.
Because we know we cannot do without each other. The Gen Z, yes, they have what they bring to the table. We have what we bring to the table. So we want to bring them to the table.
The veterans,
yes,
ourselves, and then the younger ones. Everybody comes
absolutely.
Together. Collaborate together.
I love that. And the main thing, the main solution that is going to be driven on that stage is for revenue. How do we
make money,
create revenue and sustain it?
Yeah, that's the word, sustainability. The big problem we have in our industry. We start, but to sustain. When I first started, sorry to cut you
off. No, that's fine.
When I first started, I know I saw a lot of tourism people, young people mm-hmm, coming up. I was mm-hmm, so excited. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, Nina, you don't want to do all this tour program. You don't like it.
Yeah.
It's not your thing. Why don't you promote these people? That's why I became a tourism promoter. And anybody I saw anything tourism, I'll promote them.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed that in the recent years, they've reduced.
Mm-hmm.
I went and asked originally to each of them. They're like, Ma, I'm not making money from this thing. It's not sustainable.
Yeah.
I had to go and do something. Or I'm doing something else so that to make it sustainable.
Sustainable.
You know, so... I like that you guys are trying to solve that problem. With the whole generation, different generations coming together.
Yes, how we can create revenue and sustain it. And some of those services that you just render free of charge.
They can actually make money from
you can them. Actually monetize it. So that's because we know that the Gen Zs are smart with technology.
Yeah.
Hey, let's come together. Let's talk about this and let's prefer solutions. And we don't want to leave it that there. We're writing to all the tourism ministries and organizations because we want that solution to be documented and, you know, distributed and shared with this tourism organizations where they have their members to see how, you know, we can start to make progress towards, you know, sustaining revenue sustainability and all of that.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening. And like I mentioned again, more information are available on our site. It's www.tourisminvest.africa to get all the information. We keep updating. to get all the information.
Thank
about
you so
it.
Much for that. I'm really very, 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 very proud of you because I've been following you in this investment.
Thank you so much. And you're one of our moderators, you know that. And you're also you're also co-hosting the networking section.
Is that so?
It's going to be an interesting networking session.
Really? She's moderating.
She's moderating and she's co-hosting.
But yes, I am looking forward to attending the event because I'm really big about tourism funding. I think you're aware of my crowdfunding platform that I started and all that. It's been on pause for now because trying to get the right people to work with me has been tough. But I love what I see you and your team doing, and I've always been interested in attending your events. So I'm looking forward to July big time. So let's go a bit personal now.
Okay.
Mention three things about yourself that people do not know. Three.
Number one, people don't know. Number one is that people just think I'm a very calm person, unfortunately. I can be pushed and pushed and pushed to this wall. But when I get to that wall and I turn back, then you realize I'm not that calm. But before I get to that part, it can take a village. It can take years. So people don't know that about me. They just say, I'm calm, I'm calm, I'm calm. And it's that same energy I put into my business, what I want to do. So I'm that person that you tell no. You still see me come back and tell you, I want your no to be yes, mostly when I see there's value. So I like that part that I'm calm, but when it gets to where I don't need to be calm, I talk.
You can become a volcano.
Because I also applied it to my business world. People also don't know that, I think they do know that I love red wine because I think
red wine is healthy.
Oh my goodness.
It's healthy.
Red wine and cheese.
Oh my, what kind of cheese?
The doctor has said, no, I don't even want to know anymore what kind of cheese. Because the doctor has said step down cholesterol. So I moved it to red wine and berries now.
Okay, at least that's healthier.
That's healthier,
Number three.
What's number three? Number three is that I love dancing and I'm struggling to learn more steps. And I don't know why I can't just learn more steps. I've tried, sorry. I love dancing. And I go to parties, I'm still dancing my old school. You know, when I go to, random parties, not old school parties, I try to see how I can get some of the new steps. No, but you see Jimmy doing Cisco and Sissy do me some of this.
It's okay, Miss Yellow, it's fine. As long as you can stay with your body,
I want to do some of this Gen Z, Kiss Daniel.
Don't break your body. Let's just stay with what we can do. All right, so to wrap things up, what advice would you give to those of us in the industry already, younger ones, and the ones that are upcoming? What advice would you give them when it comes to building their business in the tourism space?
Okay, I would say collaborate. Collaboration is a big deal. Let's get there first before we start to compete.
Collaboration is the best competition.
Most people are just focused on, hey, I want to see your business idea. No, why steal his business idea? Collaborate and see what value you would add. You would offer. And it's, collaborate. Let's get there first as a sector before we start to say we want to compete. Yeah, because we see how, you travel abroad, you see how their sector is so well organized,
well structured. And you can see there's competition, but everybody's still working together for the good of the industry.
Good. So we're through that phase now, so let's collaborate and let's support each other. Let's support each other. And for those who are, like the veterans, give the younger ones an audience. Let it not just be like, what is this person bringing? Because I know sometimes the younger ones, they come with so much energy. And they just think all those years you've put in, they want to trash it down. Doesn't work like that. Let's give them an audience. And even the younger ones to learn to, learn to be patient. Mostly when you know you're working with a generation that is not your generation.
Yes.
Be patient and learn from them.
Yes.
You don't know. Like I told someone from that generation, the Gen Z, I said, you think you can brush away how many years of experience it doesn't happen that way.
The Bible says that what an elder one sees sitting down, a younger one cannot see it.
Exactly.
It's not practical. You're not smart.
It's experience.
You may be smarter than us, but it's experience that's gotten
experience.
Us here.
And experience doesn't go under the carpet.
Nope, it does
so
not.
So bring your smartness. Bring everything you know.
Bring your creativity.
Then bring this, add it together. The results will be massive. It will be amazing.
I love that.
So that's pretty much how we can push and, drive this sector. I know the sector for the younger ones can be discouraging because it's not like oil and gas that you're already painting. This is how much I'll be making. Mm-hmm. But we will get there. We will get there. We know all the barriers we have, all the man-made barriers we have in Africa as a country.
Yes.
Then when you now start to break it down to the different players or different sectors, we know that. But I mean, the journey doesn't stop here, you know. We just have to keep pushing. Because you know there's a generation eventually who's going to enjoy all the benefits. It's just like that man who invested. I'm even sure when the owner of Marriott started Marriott, I'm sure he suffered it. I've never read his story deep down, but he never knew Marriott to be what it is today. He had the bigger picture.
Let's be very honest. Every global company that we have today that were like, oh my God, I want to work there. If you go and read their story.
Read their story.
Read Apple, Microsoft.
My goodness.
Like all these people, even the old Guinness and Co. There's a story behind
those. There's
the pain, the tears.
They had the picture. Yeah. They had the picture. They knew how they were going to get there, but those challenges, they didn't know how massive they were going to be. So that's pretty much my advice.
And any last words for our audience? Any last words for our audience?
Of course, absolutely. For audience, investment. For the operators, let's go into invest in ourselves. It's okay to pay to gain knowledge. It's okay to pay to get. If you want to grow, that mindset of, is it free? This is year 2024. Put that free thing on that somewhere. You want to grow, you want to expand, you have to invest in yourself. And then to investors, of course, absolutely. Our sector is a viable sector is guaranteed to bring return on investment. We're doing much to bring that information to a lot of investors. We want them to come on board. We want them to attend our event when we send them invitation.
Yeah.
You know, just come and look at the greener part of tourism. Come and check us out and see the business part, you know.
Yeah.
There are so many potentials. Hospitality, you know, you have resort, you have the lodges, you have the safaris.
Aviation.
There is a whole lot of spaces that you can invest
plug
in.
Plug into.
Can you plug into, and you have a guaranteed return on investment. So that's just... But this was, that was like more like a paragraph.
Yeah. Vera, thank you so much. I love your view of the tourism. It's different. And I think that's one of the things I came in with when I was going to tourism space. I didn't want to do like what everybody else was doing.
Yes.
What value can I offer? Right. And I started seeing all the big problems.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, okay, let me see the small ones that I can solve.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm happy to see what you're doing with the investment part. Because we still need to talk, because that tourism funding thing is very important.
Oh, very. Yeah, right. Very.
So thank you, Vera.
Thank you too for having
you guys
me.
For listening.
Thank you too for having me. I had such a great time.
Glad
such a great
did.
Time for
was
Tuesday.
Gist, was gist,
oh my goodness. Gist, so relaxing. Gist. Thank you. The only thing we didn't have was a glass of champagne.
I mean red wine. Should... No, I thought it was red wine you said you like. What was red wine? Why is it champagne?
Well, red wine always happens when I'm watching Netflix. So
oh,
it wouldn't.
It's Netflix. Guys, bye.
Oh, and I mentioned their name and they are not sponsoring me. I take it back.
It's all right, Vera. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And with that, we conclude our journey across Nigeria and Africa on See the World with Ajala Nene. We hope you enjoyed exploring this journey with us and that you feel inspired to discover its unique beauty for yourself. Thank you for listening. For your feedback and comment, feel free to hit us up across our socials at See the World with Ajala Nene, and you can find me personally at Ajala Nene on Instagram. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring. Your journey and your adventure awaits you.